Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
This is your moment, the moment you've been waiting for. Are you in faith for anything, or you want God to touch you and reach out to you in any area of your life? This is your appointed season in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now join your faith with mine and let's believe God for great things this morning, because every time God speaks, He speaks to make a change, to cause a change, to do great things in our lives. That's how God speaks, and He speaks to that end. Praise God. All right, so let's believe God for great things now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, our hearts are open to receive your word today. We are asking that your word will come to everyone here present, watching online, in the name of Jesus. And let your word come with power, with instructions. Let your word come to alter the course of nature. Let your word come to lift us to the next level, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your word come as solution to problems. Let your word come as light to dispel every darkness. Let your word come, Father, as bread to feed every hunger, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you praise for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, today we're looking at faith. You know, the Lord spoke to me early this morning. He said, you know, remind my people of the need, the importance of building their faith. All right? You need to build your faith. Why? Because we live by faith. As Christians, our life is faith-based. Everything we do in Christ is done by faith. Everything we enjoy in Christ, we do enjoy by faith. Everything that we receive in Christ, we receive by faith. And everything that we have received in Christ, we appropriate by faith. Glory to God. So faith is a must. Is a must. You cannot escape the subject of faith as a Christian, because Christianity itself is called the faith. All right? It is called the faith. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So welcome to the faith. Amen. Christianity is the faith. So the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. Now, we understand the times that we are in all over the world. Today, some people are afraid. Some people don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. Some people don't even know what to do with their lives. You see, it is only those who are in faith that can be preserved. If you are not in faith, you cannot be preserved. But thank God, as God's children, we are children of faith. And we are in the faith. So we have to learn how to use our faith in Christ to be able to ward off every challenge, every militating circumstance against our lives. Praise God. And then to be able to forge ahead doing the will of God. So faith is too important. Amen. It's a subject that we cannot, you know, do without, and we cannot but understand, because our life, our very life, depends on it. Glory to God. So, Hebrews chapter 11, very quickly, and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God," it didn't say should believe, it says must. I want you to tell your neighbor, if you have anybody around you viewing with you, all right, tell that person, faith is a must. Faith is a must. All right? It is not optional. It is not an elective. Faith is a compulsory course in Christianity. Of course, it is not the only subject of the Bible, but I can tell you that it is the most important. Because without faith, other things in Christ will not work. Amen. Faith is the hub of Christianity. That's why it's called the faith. Glory to God. Okay? You cannot walk in love without faith. You cannot, you know, receive healing without faith. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot, you know, receive answers to prayers without faith. You see, you cannot be justified without faith. You can't make progress in the things of God without faith. All right? In fact, you cannot fellowship with God without faith. It's all about faith. So it's a must. So I always do this as a culture. I study faith every week. All right? Because I want my faith to be vibrant. I want my faith to be hale and hearty. I want my faith to be strong. Because, see, the stronger your faith, all right, the better you will do in life. When your faith is strong, you do well. You do well. The just shall live by faith. So faith is a must. It's not something you want to push aside and, you know, count as unimportant. Faith is a must. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is a must. Glory to God. Faith is a must. Amen? So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the Bible tells us that we walk by faith. We understand that a walk is a series of steps in the direction of one's desire. All right? The direction of one's purpose. All right? So we walk by faith and not by sight. We make progress in the direction of God's will for our lives by faith. Now, a Christian who is just religious, who is just a church goer, who is just in the house of God, doing things in the house of God, who is not consciously and intentionally building his or her faith, listen very carefully, the person is going to be redundant. All right? While others are making progress, it's going to be on one spot. And that's not God's will for us. We walk. We walk by faith. Our walk is of faith. Glory to God. Our progress is of faith. The testimonies we share is of our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, let me give you an example. Someone who is blind, who cannot see, all right, that person will need another to lead him on. Now, a man who is not walking by faith, who is not developing his faith, will have to live at the mercy of others. Will have to be backed by others, carried by others. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you want to live your life, the life that God has given unto you, the life of faith that God has given you, you must develop your faith. That's very important. So that you don't live life at the mercy of others. You don't live life on people's backs. You don't live life wearing pampers. Praise God. All right? You need to develop your faith. It's a must. If you really want to fulfill your destiny, you really want to live strong in this life, you really want to fulfill everything God has written concerning you, you want to make progress, real progress in life, then you have to develop your faith. It's a must. It's a must. All right? Okay? And then we understand that we get answers to prayers by faith. You see, faith all by itself without prayer can work. And will walk. All right? But prayer without faith cannot walk. Remember in Mark 11, we started reading from verse 22. After that, Jesus had cursed the fig tree and it had dried up to the root, Peter calling the attention of Jesus and the other disciples to the fact that the fig tree had dried up to the root, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Faith. All right? And then it tells us in verse 23. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, not pray, say. Now this is faith, pure faith working now. Whosoever shall say, not pray. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, Jesus didn't pray to the Father when he cursed the fig tree. He wasn't praying to the Father. All right? He just said out loud, no man eats fruit of thee again forever. And then his disciples heard him. Glory to God. So you see, he didn't pray to the Father. He wasn't praying to the Father. No. No. He was using his faith. So you can use faith without prayer. All right? The cursing of the fig tree was pure faith without prayer. And then he now taught about the application of faith in prayer. Glory to God. The next verse, verse 24 of Mark 11, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, he says, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That means if you pray, you are a prayer whiz and you are not given to faith, you don't understand what faith is, all right, and how to put faith to work, your prayer will not get results. That's what it means. So you see, prayer cannot stand alone. Prayer cannot get results from God without faith. But faith can stand alone and get results because it is premised primarily on the word of God. In fact, we are not meant to pray without engaging faith. That's it. All right. Anyone who understands the principles governing prayer shouldn't pray and ought not to pray without engaging faith. See? So faith is very important. Faith is very important. Again, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible tells us, does any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. He says, but let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, in faith, in faith, in faith, in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is as a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. He says, let not that man think in his heart, the next verse, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you see, lack of faith brings instability. And that's why it is very important that you develop your faith. You must see it as a project, a lifetime project. All right? Growing your faith daily. Growing your faith weekly. Growing your faith monthly. Growing your faith year in, year out. Glory to God. That's very important. Amen? So, prayers are answered by faith or through faith. Glory to God. And then we understand that our victory, this life of victory that God has given us in Christ Jesus is only possible by faith. In other words, this life cannot be lived without faith. We have a victorious life in Christ already. The moment you got born again, you received the very nature of God, the very life of God. And that life is a life of victory. And so that life works by faith. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, glory to God. So you see, our faith is the overcomer, all right? That is what makes us overcomers, our faith in God, the understanding of how that faith works, engaging it, using it. That's how we overcome in life. Praise God. So it is very important, beloved, that you develop your faith. Don't leave it in the hand of someone else or somebody to do it for you. All right? Don't leave it in their hands. Take responsibility for the welfare and well-being of your faith. That's too important. All right? Very important. Glory to God. So, we understand that faith is very important because how can we live in this world without getting answers to prayers? All right? How can we live in this world without being able to ward off the arrows of the wicked one against us? You remember the Bible speaks of the shield of faith. The shield of faith is, you know, the shield that wards off every fiery dart of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. All right? So faith is very important. You need to understand it, that faith is very, very important. Glory to God. All right. So let's talk about growing your faith. How do you grow your faith? Now, I want you to understand that there are dimensions and measures of faith. All right. There are dimensions and measures of faith. That's very important. Understand that there are dimensions and measures of faith. Now, look at this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It tells us that God has dealt to every man in Christ the measure of faith. So every man in Christ has got the measure of faith. Now, when we talk about the measure of faith, you see, when you got born again, there's such a thing as the saving faith. All right? The saving faith is the faith that you received through the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of your salvation. When you heard that gospel, faith came to you. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, in context, it's talking about salvation. All right? The gospel of salvation. So faith comes by hearing the gospel of salvation. Now, the moment you heard the gospel of salvation, faith, the saving faith came to you, is a gift from God. Is a gift from God. No man can muster faith or, you know, just stir up faith all by himself in himself. It is given by God. The Bible tells us the saving faith came as a gift from God. If Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All right, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it came as God's gift through the gospel to you. And when that faith came, it didn't leave you. All right, because that was what, you know, was needed or required to become a Christian. So the faith didn't leave you, because if the faith left you, you wouldn't be a Christian anymore. All right, so the faith came to stay. It's called the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is like a seed that God has deposited in you, and you need to grow it. So every child of God has the measure of faith. All right? We're born again of that incorruptible seed of God's word, which is also known as the word of faith. All right? And that word of faith came into us, became part of our life. So faith is your life as a child of God. So God has dealt to you the measure of faith. Say it with your mouth. Say, I have the measure of faith in Christ. Say it again. Say, in Christ, I have the measure of faith. Say it again. Say, in Christ, I have the measure of faith. Now, the measure of faith is the baseline, you know, is basic faith. All right, basic faith. That is the basic faith that comes to every believer. God is no respecter of persons. All right, so whatever you make of that faith thereafter depends on you, not on God. Depends on you. Praise God. All right, so there's the measure of faith that comes to every believer. Now, if you don't do anything about that measure of faith, what happens is that the faith shrinks. It becomes little. It becomes little. And the Bible speaks of faith at different levels. Faith at different levels. All right, the first level of faith here, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he called their faith little faith. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, all right, Matthew 6 and verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, how do you know a little faith? A little faith is the faith that vacillates, the faith that undulates, the faith that goes up and down, always unstable. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right? That is a little faith. That means the faith that has been starved of the revelation of the Word of God. All right? The measure of faith is there, but the faith is shrinking. Shrinking and shrinking. That shrinkage, all right, brings about what is called little faith. And little faith is a doubting faith. All right? You know, you're not sure of anything. You know, my stripes I'm healed, but what about the feeling? But what about this? That's a little faith. All right? They were doubting God's ability to take care of them, to meet their needs. All right? And they were anxious. Now, anxiety is one of the characteristics of little faith. All right? The second characteristic is doubt. Doubt. All right? Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. The Bible tells us very clearly in Matthew 14 and verse 21, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Speaking of Peter, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Matthew 14, 31. All right? He caught him, and the Bible says, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? All right? So you see, doubt is always one of the characteristics of little faith. He says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Are you doubting God's faithfulness to bring his word to pass? All right? Are you in between two, like, I'm not really sure. All right? Is God faithful? Will he do it? Will he not do it? All right? You've not been feeding your faith well. That faith has shrunk. All right? That is a little faith. All right? The measure of faith God gave you, you need to feed it with the word of God to grow that faith. Because, you know, coming to that, how to grow your faith. So let me go ahead of myself. Okay? All right. And then another characteristic of a little faith is lack of understanding of how God works. In Matthew 16 and verse 8. Matthew 16 and verse 8. All right, it says, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, his disciples, amen, do you not yet understand? Okay, let me read from my note here. This thing is shifting and changing. Matthew 16 and verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? And then verse 9. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets, amen, you took home? Praise God. Now, this is very important. When you lack comprehensive understanding of what faith is, how the kingdom of God works, it is actually owing to one fact. It owes to a fact that your faith is little. All right? People find it a little bit challenging grasping the things of the Spirit, wrapping their minds around spiritual things. It is a product of little faith. All right? It makes more sense to them to walk in hatred and bitterness than to walk in love. All right? They say, okay, what do I do? Somebody hurt you, so you should hurt him back. All right? They don't understand how the kingdom of God works. They lack understanding. So, characteristics of a little faith. Number one, it is a faith that is exemplified in anxiety. Number two, it reveals itself in doubt. Number three, it shows lack of understanding of the ways of God. Amen? The word of God, the things of the Spirit of God. And then the Bible also speaks of great faith. So faith can be a little and it can also be great. The centurion in Matthew chapter 8, all right, if you start reading from verse 10 to verse 12, exemplified a great faith. Now, what is a great faith? A great faith is a faith that solely depends on the word of God. There are two people in the Gospels that exemplified a great faith, the centurion and then the Syrophoenician woman. All right, the Canaanite woman, the woman of Canaan. All right, and those two people did not come for themselves. They didn't come to Jesus to receive miracles for themselves. They came for others. All right, they were motivated by love. The centurion actually wanted Jesus, you know, to speak a word just for his servant. All right, that his servant might be made whole. And then the Syrophoenician woman actually came for her daughter who was sick, oppressed by demon spirit. Glory to God. So you see, the great faith here is motivated by love, the love of God. All right? You want to see others whole. You want to see them blessed. You want to see them lifted. That's a great faith. All right? And you're praying, you're desiring God's word to be a blessing to them. You're desiring that God will speak his word to be a blessing to them. That's a great faith. Praise God. And then we also see that, you know, they came not to get Jesus's attention, as in have his physical presence with them at their house to be healed, all right, for their loved ones to be healed. No, all right, they wanted just his word. They wanted him to speak his word, just his word. Glory to God. All right, and this kind of faith is primarily premised on the word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. That's a great faith. Speak the word only. Now, the woman with the issue of blood had faith, but Jesus didn't commend her faith as great. All right? Her faith was just faith. Faith. Praise God. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. All right? Jairus had faith, came to Jesus, wanted Jesus to come to his house to pray for his daughter. And the Bible tells us that Jesus commended his faith as faith. It says, be not afraid, only believe. So he was in faith. Glory to God. Okay, but not great faith. The centurion came on behalf of his servant and he wanted Jesus to speak just the word, his word. In fact, he even sent men and said, look, I'm not even worthy to even have you under my roof. Speak the word only. Now, the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, all right, if you read Matthew chapter 15, specifically verse 28, all right, Jesus knew that her faith was great. She came because she wanted Jesus to speak his word, just a word. All right, she didn't come with her daughter. She came herself, and she came to receive a word for her daughter. All right, her daughter, you know, at that time was miles away from where Jesus was and where she was, all right? But she received the word. Jesus spoke a word and it impacted on her daughter and immediately she was made whole. Praise God. All right? Another thing about a great faith is the fact that, you know, people who exemplified great faith were people who relied solely on Jesus' righteousness. All right? They were not Jews. The centurion was not a Jew. All right, the Syrophoenician woman was not a Jew. And so they were not even worthy going by the dispensation at that time. All right, Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. All right, at that time his ministry was limited to Israel. But they received miracles. Why? Because they leaned on Jesus' righteousness, not on their own worthiness to receive the miracle. In fact, the centurion said that he wasn't even worthy, all right? He said, I'm not worthy to even have you under my roof. Speak the word only, all right? The Syrophoenician woman said, look, if you call me a dog, I am a dog, all right? But even dogs, at least they feed from the crumbs that fall from their master's table, all right? So she relied on Jesus' righteousness, absolutely, amen? And Jesus looked at their faith and said, look, your faith is great, amen? So that's a great faith. And then that brings us to strong faith. Your faith can be strong. All right? Your faith ought not to be little. The moment you get born again and you are in a Bible-believing church and you know how to grow your faith will not shrink. It will keep growing. It will keep growing. But when you get born again and then you lock yourself up in a church where unbelief is preached, all right, people don't really exercise themselves in the things of God. They don't exercise themselves in the word of God. You know, that measure of faith will shrink. It becomes little and people begin to vacillate and doubt and undulate. All right, they are neither here nor there. All right, but that's not the kind of life God wants us to live. That's why the kind of church you attend is very important. It is important who your pastor is. All right? It is very important. Who is your pastor? Who is feeding you with God's word? That's too important. You have to feed on the word of God. That's how to grow your faith. So strong faith. Let's look at it in the life of Abraham, Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So Abraham believed God. Verse 17, he believed God. That's faith. All right, that's the beginning. You believed in Jesus Christ at salvation, at new birth. That's the beginning. That's faith. All right? And then the Bible tells us that Abraham didn't vacillate in his faith. He continued on the faith lane. And as he continued, his faith grew. Look at the next verse, verse 18. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. He continued in his faith walk. All right, verse 19 now tells us. It says, and be not weak in faith. Look at it. And being not weak in faith, so Abraham was not weak in faith. There was a possibility, all right, at the time to be weak in faith. But he was not weak in faith. How? The Bible says he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see, our consideration determines our level of faith. All right, what are you considering? If you're not considering the word because the word of God is not available, all right, your faith will shrink. If you're not considering the word because you feel that some other things are more pressing than the word, having heard the word of God, your faith will shrink. All right, but look at Abraham. He was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right, and then he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not stagger. He didn't vacillate. Glory to God. But was strong in faith. Strong in faith. Giving glory to God about what? About the promise. About the promise. About what God had said to him. I have made you a father of many nations. So shall thy seed be. So that means Abraham had God's word and he began to meditate on God's word. He began to give thanks to God for his word. He began to give thanks to God for his word. And then he moved from just faith, all right, to not being weak in faith, all right, and then he moved from not being weak in faith to being strong in faith. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So a strong faith is a faith that has God's word before it and before its consideration. You're considering God's word. You're considering God's word. And your response to that consideration is thanksgiving unto God. You're giving thanks to God. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. You are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Have you said, shall you not do it? Have you spoken, shall you not make it good? You're faithful to do what you have said. Faithful is he who has promised, who also will do it, who also will perform it. Glory to God. And so Abraham moved from faith to not being weak in faith to being strong in faith. And then what next? The Bible tells us, and being fully persuaded, full persuasion, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So he moved from faith to not being weak in faith to being strong in faith to full persuasion. Full persuasion. Glory to God. And now at full persuasion, there is no doubt anymore. All right? You cannot see doubt. You can't see it. Praise God. Full persuasion. So it is evident that your faith can grow. Your faith can grow. You can grow in faith. Glory to God. You can grow in faith. Your faith can develop. Your faith can grow. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul was giving thanks to God for the church at Thessalonica. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. All right, verse 3, please. As it is meet. All right, because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. Just verse 3. Praise God. It says, your faith groweth exceedingly. Exceedingly. Now, he's referring to Christians here. All right? They started at faith, and then their faith grew. How? Exceedingly. Your faith can grow exceedingly. It can grow exceedingly. Glory to God. Amen. That's the life of the Christian. You go from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. Paul, you know, writing to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse 17, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So you see, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, faith to faith, faith to faith, from one level of faith to a higher level of faith. You know, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So because he's the author and the finisher of our faith, what that means is this, that he authors our faith at salvation, and then he finishes it when he comes at the catching up of the saints. All right? Then concerning things, the things that God has provided for us in Christ, he authors your faith at the beginning of, you know, receiving healing from God, that which he has provided for you, and then he finishes it at the point of receiving that healing into your body and being healed. Praise God. See? Concerning prosperity, at the beginning of receiving prosperity, he authors your faith by giving you the revelation of the word of God concerning prosperity. And then he perfects that faith as you receive prosperity and walk in abundance. Glory to God. Amen? And then ultimately, he authors our faith. He authored our faith at salvation, and then at the catching up of the saints, he will conclude it. He will finish it. Glory to God. So that tells you that faith can grow. All right? From one level to another level, it can grow and increase. Glory to God. And that's very, very important. Now, let me say this quickly as I will begin to tie this up. How do you grow your faith? How do you grow your faith? How do you grow your faith? Now, it's very, very simple. Faith has its root in the Word of God. Faith has its root in the Word of God. So, growing your faith is actually receiving the Word of God continually. All right, receiving God's word continually. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to take a posture of hunger for the word. You must learn the word daily. Now, the more you receive God's word, all right, the more your potential for faith growing and moving from one level to a higher level, all right, increases in your life. The more that potential increases. So when you receive God's word, you are receiving the potential to grow your faith. All right? Faith feeds on the word of God. Faith feeds on the word of God. In fact, faith food, the word of God is faith food, the food of faith. The food of faith. See? So you take that posture of receiving God's word, learning God's word. The more the revelation of God's word comes to you, the more your faith has the potential of growth or to grow. All right? The potential of growth comes as you learn the word of God. Now, this is the secret. What actually grows your faith is the practice of the word of God. Amen? Now, you can meditate for all you care from now till eternity, and your faith will only have the potential to grow. I mean, meditate in the word. Will only have the potential to grow and not grow. That you have the potential for something doesn't necessarily mean the dynamic possibility and energy of that thing, all right, you know, is at work in your life. Praise God. Okay? So, the potential to grow your faith, the potential of growth, all right, comes to you when you learn the Word of God, you receive the Word of God. Amen? Now, faith actually grows when you act on the Word, when you do the Word of God. Now, let's go back to that scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, we are bound to give God, to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Did you see that? Then go to verse 4, please. Next verse. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now listen very carefully. Faith will not grow until it is challenged. All right? The trying of your faith works patience. Your faith will grow when your faith, you know, goes to the gym. Your faith has to, you know, be exercised. That's when your faith begins to grow. It's just like muscles, having muscles in your body. Everybody has muscles, but not every human being is muscular. All right? The difference between having muscles and being muscular is exercise. All right? Every child of God has faith. All right? But not every child of God has great faith. Not every child of God has strong faith. All right? Why? The difference is exercise. Some are using their faith, others are not. Some are engaging their faith, others are not. So, if you engage your faith will grow. Now, the moment you have learned God's word, challenges will come your way, all right, to prove the understanding of God's word that you have, all right, you have acquired. Have you noticed that when, you know, you just finish a series on love, you now start having temptations along those lines. Somebody is stepping on your toes. Somebody is, you know, backbiting you. Somebody is saying something ugly about you. Man, are you following what I'm saying here? You know, why? Because you have to walk your faith. And that's why the life of the Christian will never be void of tests. Will never be void of challenges. Understand it. It is part of the curriculum. It is part of the program. So that you are not going to face challenges because you're a faith man, is not going to work. All right? The Bible tells us, go to James chapter 1, start reading from verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or tests and trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Praise God. I remember when I started, you know, developing my faith in the area of finances. I was an undergraduate then, you know, at Obafemi Awolowo University. And we were doing a project. We called it a boss project in our fellowship. And so brethren were encouraged to sow seeds towards the project. And we were encouraged to give at least, you know, 250 naira per person. And that was a lot of money then. It was a stretch. Praise God. You know, for students, you know, undergraduates. So brethren started giving 250 per person. As the pastor, I was a pastor at the time, I said to myself, look, I'm not going to give just 250. I'm going to give much more than that. So I had 750 naira with me. All right. And I gave 500 out of the 750. That was a big seed to a student at the time. All right. So I gave that. And I was thankful to God. I was rejoicing, giving thanks to God. Oh, Lord, thank you so very much. I've sown a big seed. You know. And as I was returning back to the room, my hostel, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, drop the last 250 naira. Oh boy, I was angry. I was upset. I was angry. I said, Lord, do you want to kill me? That was what I said, you know, based on my understanding at the time, you know. Do you want to kill me? All right. And I got back to my room. I couldn't gather myself together. You know, I was just praying in tongues under my breath, repenting. I said, Lord, I'm sorry the way I responded to you. Please forgive me. All right. And then the moment I agreed to drop the 250 naira, the last 250 naira I had on me, all right, the peace of God flooded my heart. So I went back to the fellowship and dropped 250. So I sold 750 naira altogether. So I was rejoicing and thanking God. I thought the fruit, the harvest of that seed sown will happen immediately, maybe the next day or the next week. All right. For like a month, nobody even gave me a seed. Nobody blessed me with any amount of money. You know, so I didn't have food to eat. So I would move from one house to another, one room to another, just visiting the brethren, and I would share God's word with them, you know, for a long period of time. At least to engage them until lunch is ready. Amen. So I will eat lunch, and then I was eating around, you know, from one room to another, visiting the brethren. And for 1 month, I learned to live by faith. Without money, I depended on God, and there was no lack in my life. God met my needs supernaturally. So the following month, somebody blessed me with 10,000 naira. Amen. That was massive then. Huge money. You know. And then it went on like that. Another person blessed me with some money, 5,000 naira. And then I got a scholarship, all right, worth 50,000 naira. And it just went on and on like that. Praise God. I was learning to use my faith. There was a challenge. God was stretching me, moving me from that level of faith to a higher level of faith. Listen. Now, Your faith must be challenged and exercised before it can grow. Your faith will not grow without tests. All right? So when Christians feel strange, like, what is happening to me? Why am I going through this? And all that. You shouldn't feel strange. Glory to God. Understand that your love walk will be tested. Your faith along that line will be tested. All right? And you have to forgive. It might be challenging or difficult, but you have to do it. And as you do that, your faith will begin to grow. So you see, if you just study God's word a lot and you are not a doer of God's word, you will turn into a Christian psychologist or a Christian philosopher. Well, a true Christian is a doer of the word. You have to learn to put the word to work. Every time God speaks to you, every time the revelation of God's word comes to you, do it. Do the word. Do the word. Put the word to work. Put the word to work. In fact, that is one way to show God that you're ready for the next revelation. If you are not a doer of God's word, God is not going to give you more of his word, more of his revelation. Glory to God. You must do the word. Amen. So two things primarily to grow your faith. Very easy. Learn the word. Receive the revelation of God's word. And then put it to work. Practice the word. The word of God. Put it to work. The trying of your faith works patience. Put the word to work. Put the word to work. Glory to God. Now let me show you something here. This scripture, you know, Pastor Funke quoted it this morning. And there's a part that we quote of this scripture. You know, we don't really look at it in context. Amen? Let's look at it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. All right? Let's start from verse 11. I want to show you something here. Look at it. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. All right, now he now says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Praise God. Now look up, please. Now, we have in the same spirit of faith. This spirit of faith speaks in adversity. He's speaking the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. Now, this man, Paul the Apostle, is going through adversity, persecution for the sake of the churches. All right? And he says, we have in the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of faith that David, the prophet of old, had, that same spirit of faith speaking in adversity, in a test, in a trial. You are still speaking your faith. You are not going to give it up. You hold on to the confession of your faith. Glory to God. That's what the spirit of faith is. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Praise God. So you see, in engaging faith, all right, understand that tests and trials will come, because many a times faith is kind of, let me put it this way, on holiday, when there are no tests and trials, there are no projects, you know, to engage your faith on or to use your faith for. Praise God. So God will set you up. All right. Challenges will come so that you can use your faith. You know, someone asked me some time ago, he said, sir, what is your greatest secret? All right. I said, well, I think what I know as my secret of success is that I'm a doer of the word. I do the word. When it is convenient, when it is not convenient, I do the word in season and out of season. I do the word. I learn the word, I receive the word, and I put the word to work. I put the word to work. Glory to God. Amen. That's my secret. And that ought to be your secret as a child of God. You're a doer of the word of God. Give yourself to practicing the word. This is how you can build your life on a solid rock. Let me show you the scripture in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 quickly. Jesus speaking, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Go on. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. All right? And that is what it means to be a doer of the word of God. See, if you're not practicing God's word, your faith is not going to be rooted and founded in God. Your faith is going to vacillate. It's just going to undulate, go up and down, up and down, up and down. But when you begin to practice God's word, make up your mind that by the grace of God and every word that comes to you, you will put to work. Amen? All right? Whatever God reveals to me to do, by time, based on his word, I do it. Praise the Lord. Amen? You know, something happened one time. I needed some money for my family. All right? And then the Lord spoke to me to give the money, you know, for something in church. Praise God. And I gave it. Amen. And I had to believe God to meet the needs of my family. Because God said so. I did it. Now someone says, well, how come, you know, you did that just like that, that easily? Listen very carefully. I did that because God himself has trained me in my from campus days. All right? I have been trained by God. You see, there are certain things in your life on the faith line that can only come into your life by training. All right? Exercising yourself to do the will of God. Okay? So you learn the word and put the word to work. Put the word to work. Walk the word. Amen? Walk the word. I remember when I was 7, you know, I stayed at my pastor's BQ, and he had a younger brother, wonderful man, you know, very, very cantankerous and very troublesome, you know. And one time he confronted me and just wanted to prove a point that he was superior or greater. And I didn't do anything wrong, all right? But he accused me of a wrong. I felt so disappointed in him, and I felt very bad, you know? So I went back into my room, and I was there praying, meditating. The Lord said to me, spoke to me very clearly. He said, look, go and prostrate for him and apologize to him. I said, Lord, excuse me, I can't do that. All right? I didn't offend him. All right? He offended me. He wanted to just prove a point that, you know, he was superior to me. I didn't offend him. He offended me. In fact, let me narrate the story. You know, he wanted us to fetch water. Water wasn't running in the house. So we would take kegs, 25 liters, 50 liter keg with wheelbarrow. We'd go to a place, you know, on the street to fetch water. So he told me he was going to fetch water. And I said, okay, I was doing something, I would come and join him. So he got angry. So I eventually left the room, went to fetch water, brought the water back to the house. And then he just went angry. He was mad. He called me names. He was fuming. It was really embarrassing. So I didn't answer back, but I felt disappointed in him, and I was angry too. So I went into the room, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go and prostrate and beg him. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. All right. This man is just taking me for a ride. I'm not going to do it. You know, the Lord said, go and prostrate and beg him. Okay? So, I went and I prostrated and I begged him. I said, sir, I'm sorry for how, you know, I responded and all that. And then he told me something very shocking. He said he had made up his mind that he would never forgive me. That he will only forgive me in eternity. When we stand before God, you know, to settle scores, that's when he will forgive me. And I said, oh, thank God I did what God said to do. All right, because with that kind of a heart, that man may not get to the presence of God. All right? So, I obeyed God. When I came back to the room, I sensed the hand of God on me so strong. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was so strong on me. And then the Lord said, you have done my will. My grace is upon you, and I will help you. Praise God. And he's helped me ever since. Glory to God. That manifest presence of God has always been there ever since. Amen. And there were certain things God told me after that encounter, all right, that I may not have heard from God, but God spoke those things to me about my future, about my destiny, because I acted on his word. Now listen very carefully. Your faith will be tested. If you want to grow your faith, because there are times people say, oh God, my faith must grow, my faith must grow. What you are calling for is a test. It's just like a student praying for, you know, promotion from one class to a higher class. He's calling for examination, right? Because promotion is not like, okay, you look good today, you are promoted to, you know, primary 4. No, from primary 2. It doesn't work that way. You have to be examined. You have to be examined. So if you're praying for your faith to grow, all right, then some things will come, tests. All right, some challenges will come your way and you have to use your faith. Now, while you're engaging your faith, all right, according to God's word, your faith will begin to grow. Your faith will begin to grow. So if you see anyone really developed in faith, they have been obeying God in faith. That's it. Anyone who has been disobeying God in any area of his life, health, finances, ministry, all right, name it. They're not going to grow in faith in those areas. They won't. They won't. So you have to obey God. You have to act on the word. Be a doer of the word. That's how to grow your faith. Glory to God. Now let me show you one more scripture as we close now, and then I'll pray for you. Amen. James chapter 1, we'll start reading from verse 22. We'll read to verse 25. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He says, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, he says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's in verse 25. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Glory to God. So you see, the blessing shows up in our lives, in our experience, at the point of acting on the word of God. When you start practicing God's word, you move into the dimension of the manifestation of the blessing. Now, every Christian, every child of God is blessed potentially. Amen? We're blessed. We're blessed with the blessing of Abraham. We're blessed with the blessing of fruitfulness. All right? But you see, when you begin to act on the word, put your faith to work, glory to God, the blessing will begin to materialize. People can look at you and say, oh, that brother, that sister is blessed. Amen? Then your faith would grow and grow and grow and grow. And grow, and grow. And one beautiful thing about the faith, the growth of your faith, is that when your faith grows, it takes you and yours to a new level, all right? That level of faith. And then as it grows to a higher level, it takes you and everything that belongs to you to that higher level of faith. Now, if you don't take responsibility to grow your faith, a time will come in your life, you'll get into the business of envy, envying others. All right? You'll be complaining, why is that? Are they the only ones? And what were you doing when they were growing their faith? All right? You have to grow your faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, I have made it a point of devotion and consecration to God. I don't gossip. I don't talk about people behind them. I will not do it, no matter what. If you raise an issue, I will just ignore it. I don't do it. Amen. Why? Because I've learned over time that it is wrong to do that. The word says it is wrong, so it is wrong. Praise God. So you see, in practicing God's word, temptations, occasions will come. Tests will come your way. To prove your conviction. The moment your conviction is proved or proven, your faith grows to the next level. Amen. Now, Abraham was also tested. You know, the Bible says he considered not his own body now dead. All right. The death of his body was there, staring him in the face. All right. The death of Sarah's womb was there, staring him in the face. And the Bible tells us that he considered not his own body now dead in the deadness of Sarah's womb. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Anytime any challenge comes my way, I rejoice. I count it all joy. Why? It's another opportunity for me to grow my faith and to move up to the next level. God wants you to move up to the next level. That is his will for you. Praise God. Amen. I said, amen. All right, now, I push it to you. It's on your table now. The book is on your table now. Amen. Okay, are you going to develop your faith? Are you going to take responsibility for your faith to grow and keep growing? All right, it's in your hand. The ball is in your court. Glory to God. It's yours to do. Amen. As the revelation of God's word comes, all right, take responsibility for the word that God has given you. Now, see, there are some Christians, they are so interested in revelation. You say, yay! Yeah. See what? Are they going to act on it? No. Very few of them do act on the word. And see, that's the vast difference, the world of difference between hearers of the word and doers of the word. Those who hear the word and will not do it, and those who hear the word and do it, you see, the difference will be very clear. Amen? Okay? You hear the word, put it to work. See, the moment you understand that it is putting the word to work in every situation that grows your faith, I mean, that's it. You have arrived. Amen? You have arrived. You must come to that place that you don't just need to be gathering revelation, big, big, great revelation. No. All right? Be simple. The simplicity that is in Christ is evident to all. Be very simple. You know, people are just gathering revelation, gathering this, gathering that. What are you putting to work? Are you practicing the word? That's what's going to make the difference in your life. Remember, you know, the marriage at Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. Amen. The mother of Jesus said to the servant at the party, look at that man. His name is Jesus. Whatever he tells you to do, go ahead and do it. All right? Do it. Do it. And that's how you can turn your water to wine. Do it. Do it. Miracles are in the doing dimension of faith. You act on the word. Your faith is developed. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let me summarize this very quickly. All right. Potential of faith comes by meditating in the word of God. Then your faith grows in the actual sense of it by doing the word. Period. That's the summary of the message. Have you been blessed? Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word has brought light to us. We give you praise, be exalted, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for you. The hand of the Lord is strong upon you. Your faith grows from glory to glory to glory to glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.